Hey, what's poppin', people? Friday, we've got Mark from Berkeley, Jay from Plymouth, Joey from St. Clair Shores, Randon from Rochester Hill. Oh, yeah, I'm from Ferndale. And Charlie has a job. Charlie's from Fox 2.
Fox Network.
The Fox Network.
TV.
I'm sorry.
TV. Fox TV.
I did it for you, Charlie.
It's in my contract.
I have something I want to share with you guys. I just thought this was crazy. I opened up the paper today, and I'm looking at Society Confidential, which is just sort of, you know, mishmash of stories. And there's this picture of Dionne Warwick and Mary Wilson. It's about the R&B Hall of Fame. Anyway, do they look like men to you, Mary Wilson and Dionne Warwick? Is it even close?
Let's see.
Mark, look at this. Do they look like men, Dionne Warwick and Mary Wilson? I mean,
oh, Dionne does. Oh, Mary Wilson looks like, it'll come to me.
I know who it is. Harry Wilson.
It looks like a dude.
Does it look
with
like
a wig?
Ving Rhames with a wig on.
Yeah, it looks like a guy with a wig on. We put that on the site.
It's not terribly flattering.
But they're all dressed up.
Is this a story about transitioning? Are they becoming men? Oh, who's blowing up? Someone's blowing up.
You know who Dionne Warwick looks like in here? Look underneath there, the guy that writes Society.
Maybe it's really him.
Maybe it's Chuck and Drag.
He does kind of. And he's giving you a shit-eating grin like he knows that you know, too.
It's confidential.
What is the story here?
I got butt dialed.
The middle of the cast?
I know, butt dialed.
The program was hosted by Mary Wilson of the Supremes, who was fiercely elegant and beautiful, changing clothes twice during the program from a stunning off-the-shoulder red gown to a little black dress. Was that her trying to make her more effeminate because her picture looks like a dude?
You got me.
Well, the red dress looks pretty big, though. So to change into a little black dress, I would like to see that.
It's all relative, Charlie.
I used to think Mary Wilson was really hot. I thought she was real pretty. And
she's all yours.
It's just so weird to see her. No, I said I used to.
I mean, he's all yours.
They just look so dude-like. It just blew my mind. So put that up. I don't think people might.
What is that column? I've never even seen that column.
That's Detroit News.
Society Confidential?
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been there.
Do they not put it online? Because I never see it.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I've never seen it online.
So you obviously don't read the paper.
I swear to God.
I don't anymore.
When I go online and read the paper, I always miss something from the physical paper. And I don't know if it's because I don't know how to read the paper online or if it's just that there's something in the physical paper.
To be honest, I do both, and I think you're right. I don't think it is online, which, you know, it was a mistake because that's the kind of stuff people like online.
Yeah, you don't like the clicks generating your agenda, which is what happens online.
We were talking about Horace Sheffield and Let It Rip last night.
Mm-hmm.
And, Charlie, was I getting the impression that you just thought this was a big non-story?
Yeah, I do.
I agree with you, by the way, that it's a non-story.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should have covered this, but the fact is it's going to be covered. It's sort of like when Al Sharpton came to town when Nathaniel Abraham was on trial.
Yes,
and they
yes.
were going to have hands around the courthouse.
Yeah.
But only 7 or 8 people showed up. So he was talking to 7 or 8 people with a megaphone.
So it was a really tight shot.
They were standing 5 feet away from him, and it was like, why is he using a megaphone? Because, well, he thought there were going to be a lot of people. But doesn't it become a non-story when only 10 people show up for something where there were supposed to be a few thousand?
Well, you know, when a camera shows up, then it's a
right, then they get the shot, and it has to be a story.
You get the megaphone out. That's right. It. That's what you're really trying to do. So, you know, the thing, the main question with Sheffield here is, you want the Pistons to pay the black community some money because you feel they owe it.
I'm confused about that, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Here's the deal with Horace. Hey, Horace, who are we paying the money to? Who's going to hold? Is it going to be you, Horace? Are you going to administer and give a little fee or, you know, spreading it around? Because that's ultimately what it comes down to.
That's usually how Jesse Jackson operates, is someone in his family becomes enriched by his complaint.
How does he make his money? I mean, is it all strictly from his church? I mean, is it a church? I don't even know exactly what he does.
Well, he used to run programs.
programs
for youth and whatnot. He ran a high school, didn't have a very good graduation.
How did those do?
Not very well.
Not well at all.
So we've got to find something new to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have some a track record, when, for example, you tank a high school like that, wouldn't you think the next program would go to someone else?
Funny thing, politics, right? Funny thing.
He's very loud. He's very good at being loud.
Yeah.
And he's been very loud on this, too, this Bust a Ball program. And it gets coverage everywhere.
Let's do this. Sorry to interrupt. You know, explain to all of us, including me, because I'm not paying attention to this story. Explain what you know what Bust a Ball is. What is Bust a Ball program? The program. Give me the legs to the chair.
The way I understand it, he is saying that because African Americans are such a large part of the Pistons support, which, by the way, I tend to disagree with. If you look at the crowd at a game, it seems extremely Caucasian to me. I don't know who's watching at home. I don't know what the breakdown is. I'm sure a lot of black people watch the Pistons, probably. Certainly, in percentage of their population or percentage of the population.
Let's give him that point. Let's just
okay.
For
yeah,
shits
I will.
And giggles,
he said 65%. I thought that was probably a little too high.
Probably, but let's call it 80%. Let's just okay. really lean to him here.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Even if it's 80%. Okay. The idea is that they are such a huge part of the Pistons' support, and yet the Pistons don't give them anything back. Now,
the fans. Yeah, they do entertainment.
You mean the fans?
Right,
who buy tickets to see a basketball
game. Watch them on
game.
TV, right. But yeah. But my feeling is that when I buy a ticket to a basketball game, I get to watch the game in return from my seat. That's what I get.
You know, I'm expecting to see a game.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if you don't see a game, they'll probably refund you the money for the ticket.
In person. I'm expecting to be there in person watching the game and be able to brag afterwards that I went to the game and I sat in my seat. And
four quarters.
A good game or a bad
four
game.
Quarters.
Full
yeah,
quarters.
Drew would leave after, what, maybe halfway through the fourth.
Eh, possibly. Beat the traffic.
Drew's paying for 3.5 quarters.
That's
give the,
true.
Give the rest to charity.
Yeah, the other quarter.
Right? Let him in now.
So anyway... You know, what's interesting about this, I tend to do this, although it's a real waste of time because it doesn't work at all. I think of, well, what's the support where Caucasians heavily support something, I don't know, like WWE or something silly like that. Let's just say it's
NASCAR.
99 NASCAR. does the Caucasian industry or the Caucasian world expect something back from NASCAR?
No. And, you know, it could be Nike. Tennis shoes, basketball shoes. You know, Nike should give something back to the community because they're buying the shoes. But we digress. Explain to me, please, what Bust a Ball program is and seeks to accomplish.
It's a boycott until they give money to Horace Sheffield approved businesses / programs.
Horace Sheffield approved businesses.
That's what I got out of it last night.
Yeah, last night, I think he did expand on the earlier explanation in that the Pistons aren't doing business with enough black businesses.
Yeah.
You know,
not the right ones either.
The janitorial services, not the right ones. What do you mean?
Yeah, they have to be like ones that he approves because he was mentioning that some of those charities were write-offs and.
Well, the charities, I don't think he gave a shit about. I think the charities, that's just a tax write-off. I think he's talking about when the Pistons need their floor polished, he wants them to use a black business.
I get it now. Okay, so there's not enough black contractors involved. The Pistons are a slightly racist organization that. Like to hire white people.
Yeah, they don't have any black executives either. They have three Hispanic,
two
five
Asians.
Females.
Yeah.
Two Asians.
I think that was all Goris owned businesses, is what he said. I mean, we're going by his numbers.
You know, this is an interesting question.
So he's not asking for money. He's not asking the Pistons to give him
a
pile of money.
But in that first press release, he was asking them to give back to the consumers.
That's what I thought I read as well.
Yeah, yes. No, absolutely.
I agree.
And was it Perry Farrell that wrote the article in the paper? It was a really well-done article, I thought. That kind of tore him apart.
Here's my question. Because he brought this up. When I get partners because I want to buy, let's just say I have a lot more money than I do, and I decide I want to buy a Major League Baseball team or a minor league baseball team. Let's be reasonable. And I have some friends who love minor league baseball too, and let's just say I managed to put together five or six people, and we buy a minor league team for $2 million. Let's say that my friends are all white. Is that a problem? I mean, am I supposed to recruit people from other ethnicities?
Well, I... Yeah, sure, why not?
As part of my ownership team?
I would tell
well, if you're, oh, as part of your ownership team, yeah. That team that's buying it?
That's what he was criticizing. He said they're all of their...
Executives.
Every executive.
But they're not part of the ownership team. I mean, he's hiring executives, and typically...
Did he not refer to the ownership team, too? Maybe he didn't.
I don't know if he did. Maybe we just need to watch it again.
Ownership team's one thing. Executives are another.
Yeah, and if you're hiring, you got to... What is it? The EEOC equal...
Because they brought up Jordan owning the Charlotte team, and... Anyway, yeah, let's play a little chunk of it just for
as we're queuing it up. Here's a question. Why the Pistons? Because...
Oh, well, he commented on the Red Wings being a very good organization.
That's a privately owned... what is it out there in Auburn Hills? The Palace.
The Palace, yeah.
Privately owned, right? Not built with public money.
Yep.
It's not in Detroit. So why the Pistons? Why not, say, the Lions?
Maybe because they're in Detroit, so it's an easier target to take on someone outside of Detroit.
Are the Lions doing a better job than the Pistons? Is something all of a sudden than the Tigers, than the Wings?
I think he would have you believe that.
Well,
And some of it probably is because they're not in the city. I think that's a natural criticism for him to make.
Well, here's the thing:
but he even mentioned their broadcast. Well, he even mentioned their broadcasting.
Yeah, I think the idea is to target them and the NBA as well because most of the players are black.
Well, they are in football too.
Yeah, I think it's a greater percentage in the NBA though.
Yeah, but football makes a lot more money. And they're right downtown, and that was publicly funded stadium. So when you do public funding, you do have to have minority.
Charlie, stop thinking so logically.
And I'm a reporter, so
no,
I'm like,
I know.
Like,
I,
where would we actually take this? Since he brought it up,
I understand.
Let's look at everybody. Let's ask the questions.
I think Rico actually brought that up about the Red Wings. I thought that was a great question.
Go, Rico.
Hems and haws around it.
Play a chunk.
Found tonight, you can find him in the pulpit on Sunday, leading a protest on Monday. The Reverend Horace Sheffield is also CEO of DABO, the Detroit Association of Black Organizations, and
the
leader of the bus.
By the way, I heard he was not very happy after the segment.
Who's that?
Horace. Horace was not very happy.
Why? Because people disagree.
Busters, you are serious about this Bust the Ball campaign. Yes. Why are you targeting the Pistons, and what do you want?
Well, I mean, we're targeting the Pistons because it's our local team. I mean, it's reflective of what exists in the NBA. What we want is some equity for what we invest in the NBA. I mean, we have a 65% market share, people of color who watch the game. We buttress the bottom line between the lines, but we're not a part of the bottom line. So what we want is for them to spend money with black vendors, African-Americans who have business enterprises, whether it be lawyers, whether it be promotional people, whether it be folks that scrub the floor. We're not represented in terms of the money spent on us. And that's quite frankly.
In a way, if you're representing black-owned businesses,
he's not doing his job.
He's doing his job.
Oh, he is doing his job.
He's trying to drum up some business.
What is he talking about, this equity they put? They're not investors into the NBA or the Pistons. They spend their money for goods and services, and it's provided for the money they spend.
Why doesn't he?
It stops there.
Simply get a meeting with the ownership, right? Have some lunch and discuss what we could do before we're going all.
He proudly
tells. You know, isn't that really the problem here? Is that he just throws this out there in the media, and it's Sean said this. You're just throwing shit up against the wall, and seeing what sticks. Why did he not meet with the Pistons or fail to meet with the Pistons and come up with some numbers that would substantiate what he's saying? The Pistons do business with, 3% African American businesses. Of course, how does he even have this information? I don't believe he even knows how much business they do with African American.
Sure,
businesses.
He doesn't.
Do you think he does?
I don't think.
Look,
he does.
I would put it this way: I would hope that you do before you pull the stunt like this. How about that? I would hope that you would be an honest arbiter of what's going on instead of sticking against a wall.
Nobody understands it.
The Pistons have already said, you're barking up the wrong tree. We do our job in the community, and they pointed out all the various charities that they're involved with and the small businesses that they help. I think they're basically saying you got your head up your ass, and he's just because he I really don't know what his point is, but it's just strange to me. If someone says this, if someone just has this accusation, do the Pistons really have to answer this?
They
have to answer this?
They are. I mean, he says he's got a meeting next week.
Look, we don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We think we do a wonderful job in the community, and we'll stand by it.
Who's got a meeting next week?
Horace says he does. He's got a meeting with them after Labor Day is what he says.
So why you unlit it rip?
Well, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Because you got to keep getting attention for it.
Keep inflaming it.
I mean, that's you got to admit that's what he's really good at.
It's good business practice, I suppose.
His argument does kind of change in this. It ends up being like, why don't we get a response? How come we haven't been getting a response?
You got to have lunch next week.
Well, he did get a response. They sent, there's like a FedEx number and everything that they sent to him. And he's like, well, I never got it.
Was he saying that on the show here?
It comes up.
He said they didn't respond.
But then he also said, I'm meeting with them next week. So they did respond.
Exactly.
So why are we here?
On this one, he said, I'm meeting with them next week. I couldn't believe no one said, you asshole, you just said that they won't meet with you.
You know what my response is to that?
Ding.
Shut up,
there's an
Trump
attitude. As you know, I know many professional athletes who tell me that the attitude is you make enough money playing for us.
But there are millionaires running up and down that court in every NBA team.
But they generate most of the revenue, and the rest of the revenue comes from ancillary augmentation, from products, from television contracts. But when you look at the organization, even Tom Gore's organization, 38 partners, doesn't have a single African American
anywhere. That's what I was just saying. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, you said executives. I didn't know. Partners would be the ones that.
Was Tom Gore responsible to have a partnership of a certain ethnicity?
I tell you what, man, you got the bread. I don't care what color you are. Let's invest and get a team.
Fuck yeah,
that's all that is.
Well, I mean, I just this accusation is such a pile. It is. He's just throwing shit against the wall.
Now, you know, like going back to what Mark was saying, executives, look, yeah, you know, there
if you're
are,
hiring them, yeah,
there are things written in. Yeah, like let's try to diversify this thing, you know, and get people work. So I can understand maybe in the executive suites, partnership, you got to have the bread, baby. That's all there is to it.
Yep. And then they're approved by the NBA and the other owners. So
maybe your beef should be with them. I'm pissed off because I'm not a partner in some shit.
You want the Pistons to add you?
I should be a partner in the Pistons.
By the way, their general manager was black for 11 years. They offered the general manager's job to Isaiah Thomas at one time, too, which didn't work out. But
and he was black.
Joe Dumars.
See, that's the problem, though. They're just capitalizing on him, Drew.
So Joe Dumars, I would imagine, hired an awful lot of people within that side of the organization. In fact, I suspect, I remember there being a number of black people who worked in that part of the organization. I don't know what the percentages are, but
I wouldn't expect or suspect anything. If this is really going to be a story, let's find out. But it's not really a story.
No, it's not.
Why the fuck not?
Yet look at how much attention it gets. Mm-hmm. Just because.
Well, because it's race. Man, and it's a good little saucy topic to always
be drumming. Aren't people kind of getting tired of this? Isn't it kind of silly for people to be dragged up and down the street over something that really is nothing?
Well, I make the obvious point. You're the captain of this podcast. We opened up with it, so no, it's beautiful, man. It works for everybody.
I am so tired of dealing with incompetence.
But it's funny, though. It's not really a topic that we can't even discuss or argue about because we all agree that it's bullshit. I mean, that's the discussion here. What is this dude's point?
I agree.
That's the only reason it's a story.
The Association of Black-Owned Businesses, and he's trying to get his organization some work. So that's really what it is.
Well,
all right.
Fair enough.
I'm okay with leaving it there. I wasn't really questioning our discussion of it because,
but I'm going to give him his props. No. If I'm a member of the Association of Black-Owned Businesses, all right, baby, yeah, get out and make something happen.
I think it's worthy of discussion because nobody can figure out what the hell this guy wants.
Next.
Yeah. You know? Do you want to watch Sean make some faces?
I can make a guess.
Yeah, I saw Sean making faces the entire time.
I talked to him last night, and he's like, he was telling me that his buddy was giving him crap for making faces. Like he was just looking to the heavens at some time in exasperation. And I just went, oh, no, Sean, I've seen those faces. I think I've caused some of those faces before.
Well, that's why I think it'd be hard to go on Let It Rip, because there's so many people. You go on there all the time, Charlie. When there's six people on there, and you got, what, 9 minutes?
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of hard to get your point across?
Yeah. It is.
And that's why six people talk at once, and everyone was talking at once at one point last night, which was pretty hilarious.
That was really, let's just play that part.
I got to say about Sean, I love him, but man, that face of his, it always looks like he's making a face.
He's very expressive.
I know, he was.
Let's see, I think I know where they were all yelling. It's right after
this. How did Ralph Godbey get to be the morning guy on 9:10 a.m.? Can anyone dare to ask that question?
He's not bad.
He's not?
He's a pretty good host.
Okay.
Because he's a big name.
Thanks for listening to me when I was out in the morning.
But then I had to listen to you in the afternoon, the midday. I didn't know where the fuck you were, dude.
I didn't even know half the time, Charlie.
$100 million in his career.
I was like, this ain't going to turn out good.
But he also says that black athletes
Millionaires do not complain publicly because of the money they made while they wore the uniform, but once they took that uniform off, they do not get the same opportunities to coach or to go.
Wait, I think it's after. I think it's after they.
I think that's bullshit too.
I think it's after they show the graphic of all the work the Pistons have done. There we go.
We have a strong track record.
The Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, Forgotten Harvest,
Halen, Jalen Rose, the Flint Now Foundation, which is Jalen
a $10 million commitment, by the way.
That's a nice, solid argument.
They announced 30 small business loans in Detroit as well.
That's a tithe. That's community giving, man. That's a tax write-off. We're not talking about
pause that for a second, Mark.
Hold on.
I just want to say something about a tax write-off.
I forgot, dude. I was not in my living room. Because this is a nice little vibe here. Because I'm like, no, that's not the case. I'm like, what is he going to say?
I've heard this before that, that's just a tax write-off. When you write something off, you don't get all the money back. You don't make money off a tax write-off. You get maybe a third of the money back. So to say, that's just a tax write-off. No, they are committing dollars to those things. So fuck that. Bullshit.
Which is a $10 million commitment, by the way. And just 2 months ago, they announced 30 small business loans in Detroit as well.
That's a tithe. That's community giving, man. That's a tax write-off. We're not talking about. In fact, it's offensive to everybody who's a part of our coalition. You're going to tell me what you gave Negroes, what good you've done as a community. We're talking about who cleans your floors, who does your public relations, who handles your concerts. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about some crumbs.
Oh my god.
No, but it's like 10 o'clock. You're having a glass of wine with your lady. This is going on. And then you start talking amongst yourself, and you wait for it to calm down. And
I mean, those people were talking. There were three people talking. Why do you just keep talking when there's three other people talking? Because all of them, I was watching Horace Sheffield. He was just he was trying to shout down the other three people.
Now, we'll pause there. Look at Langton. His mouth is like, look how wide open it is. See, but that's the...
I think that's why
Let It Rip works, to be honest. Like, it's called Let It Rip, and when everybody's just letting it rip and yelling at each other, it's so much better than, like, you know, the other local ones or Sunday morning. It's like nobody's really saying anything.
It's better television if everybody's yelling over it. It's terrible for solving any kind of debate.
Then what do you do for Negroes? I mean, where else are you going to hear that? Let It Rip is an institution.
I enjoy Let It Rip. I always watch it.
Yeah.
It's just that I guess maybe if it were longer, you wouldn't have people yelling like that because they would have more time. So maybe the lack of time makes it more interesting.
What they probably do is do it in two bits and then post it online so it doesn't, when you're buffering. Oh, wait, that's this show.
Well, why not just have...
Shut up.
Why not just have one topic the entire time?
That's a great point.
They've done that.
Yeah. They have done that.
What, was that too long for one topic? Is that what the problem was?
Yeah, of course.
That was 20 minutes?
That was too long for one topic. There's so much stuff going on that this is not the topic that you want to go on for half an hour.
Just shut your goddamn pie hole.
Yeah.
I thought that could have used a little more time, but oh well. All right. Moving on to things that are far more important. Did you guys see what appears to be one of the most dramatic breast implants ever done on an important celebrity person?
What's the source?
Do we have the advanced pictures, the pre?
Brandon, well, I'm sure they're all over.
No. What's the source? Because I bought in that Prince Charles making out with the stable boy.
He was, totally. come on, stop burying the lead. Who's titties?
Kylie Jenner. Kylie Kardashian Jenner, whatever. Her tits are so big now. Mark, look at this picture on the right. Look at that picture.
Let me see.
She was not, like, super stacked.
No. Look at her. Look at the face. Look at the face. Wow, what the is face that?
The face is all Snapchatted out.
What is that?
Don't look at the face.
I know who's looking at the face anyway.
What's the source of it? I'm not going down this road with you.
Snapchat's the source. Her Snapchat. Yes, is the source.
But look,
she's been trying to look more and more like Kim every day.
They got masks on. She got a dog face on the left, and then
It's the Snapchat filter.
So how do we even know?
Well, here you go. Here's
you put them on yourself.
Okay, look at the
come on, old man.
Show the pre.
No, I know how it works.
Is that before?
I didn't know the name of it. Yeah,
Charlie, look at the before.
Okay,
right here. She's got the see-through shirt top on.
Okay,
and the after is coming.
Well, the after is that the best example, Drew? Is look at her biological sister in Kendall, who looks nothing like that.
Look at the difference.
It can also be a brother. It doesn't look any different to me. The one on the left.
What? Doesn't look any different to you? That doesn't look any different than that?
Well, there's two. If you took the one on the right and you smushed them together, it would look like that. You don't know much about tits.
Oh,
please.
I gotta say, I'll even take Drew's side on this. He knows more about tits than anyone I've ever met. Maybe Dr. Roche.
This right here, you could not create that look with those tits that were underneath that see-through shirt.
This one's smushed together.
There was so much separation.
See? Is that an after or before? Because those are big right there.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
Yeah.
I think that's after. It's got to be after, right? These are monstrous, though. Look how big those are. Look how voluminous they are.
We're letting our crack social media staff figure this out.
Do you think she's attractive?
Our social media staff is not even arguing about it. She says,
do you want to feel them to validate?
Yes.
You like my boobies?
When was that post right there?
She's saying she did it. She's not even saying she didn't do it. You're the only one saying she didn't have breast implants, Charlie.
Did she have breast implants?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to spank my boobies.
Have you seen Taylor Swift's breast implants?
No.
She looks good.
They're pretty significant. Yeah. She does look good, though.
Why would she do it?
Everything was going great.
I think it's an enhancement.
Mr. Reporter, I'll ask this question. Why shouldn't she do it?
Because they're not real. She was
just talking about an entertainer.
She was getting laid, making plenty of money. Everybody thought she was beautiful.
Was she really getting laid, or was she leading all those dudes on?
I'm wondering.
Okay, let me put it this way. If she wants to get laid, I can help her get laid, like, in a minute.
I don't know if she really wants to, though. She wants to date these guys, break up with them, and then make songs. And it's worked. It's been a very successful formula.
Nice formula, and get some fake boobs. Maybe it's the next record.
She's not getting fake boobs because she doesn't want to. It's helping prove her self-confidence. What?
There we go. That's look at those things. She can't even contain them. There isn't a shirt that will hold them in.
What a ridiculous family.
I know. It is a ridiculous, ridiculous family. Man. I know.
No, and her makeup's awful. She looks horrible.
You know what, though?
She's probably naturally
beautiful.
She's
got these
gigantic
lips.
You know what, though? Her dad's got giant tits, too, so maybe they're genetic.
That's true. Yeah, her dad does have pretty big tits.
I like how Joe laughed about 5 seconds after the joke. From a distance, too.
Well, that's a good question.
By the way, Caitlin has to get new.
Is her biological? Oh, it is her biological dad.
She has to get new breast implants, but
it's her spiritual mommy, right?
What?
I have no idea.
Do you still call him dad? Or you call him ma?
We call him whatever she wants to be called.
I know, I'm just curious.
I think dad.
What would she call him?
Did she change the honorific for her father, now mother?
I can't remember if it's her or her other sister, if it's Kendall, but one of them admittedly kept calling her dad.
Go home to mommy!
For a while.
And then now what are they?
I think they all just call her Caitlin. Because they don't know what to call her.
What a family.
Yeah.
Hey,
God love you, you know.
Daddy.
God love you.
Okay, moving along.
The mom's the worst one. All right, sorry.
Moving away from breasts. We'll come back.
What?
We'll come back to breasts.
Who are you?
Momentarily.
I don't know you anymore.
I don't want us to forget this story about DMC and the sterilized utensils for surgery.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
From breast augmentation to surgical tools.
Right.
Both medical.
Tools could be used.
Not lost on me, brother.
This story, I read this yesterday, and all I could think of was, this is one of the dumbest stories I've ever read. Because what in the hell can be so complicated about sterilizing utensils? It's like, I mean, isn't there some sort of special dishwasher you put them in?
Yeah.
I mean,
what's that called? Man, we were talking about that before the show.
Dishwasher.
An Oblicord?
Is that what it's called?
It's what you, the tattoo needles and stuff go in there.
Okay. I mean, if you're running a hospital, this is such a... What's so funny?
Farts.
farts.
Oh, was there a fart? I missed a fart?
I think Mags is down here again.
Oh, great.
And by the way, I stepped in a bunch of dog shit.
Mags is not down here. Well, hopefully you tracked it.
It was not Mags.
Hopefully you tracked it in the house so you can then criticize me for having dog shit in the house.
I was going to for the house a skank bit.
Drew has God done a lot of work to this house, mister. It looks nice.
Oh, no, it doesn't smell in the entranceway down there. It's been painted. Looks good.
The railing, new railing there, too?
Yes.
It's a bit flimsy.
It is not
wiggles.
Flimsy.
It's flimsy.
When are you going to start praising houses?
The old one. Such a dick. All right. I'm ignoring you. I know you want to talk about utensils anyway.
I'm sorry, man. I just thought it'd be funny for a month.
For a month? It's been at least 2 months. And, of course, the permit for the porch. They will not release the permit for the porch.
Why?
We've gotten permits in one day before.
Yeah.
Now they claim we're backed up 4 weeks. Like,
what is so hard giving
only
a permit?
Only Drew took the fucking porch down and then thought to get the permits. He's looking at me.
Such an asshole. You can get a permit in one day.
Not you.
No, not me. Not this time.
Don't permits really exist for the city to make money? So what's so hard about approving a bunch of them?
I have no idea. So now I have to listen to this dick.
Why don't you just start release it? Why don't you just start building one?
You can come over and sit on mine, man.
You've never done permitless work?
Oh yeah, well, plenty of.
Okay, why? Because it's a porch.
This is what happens when you start renting out properties. You run into stupid shit like this. Of course, I'm not gonna admit to anything. But,
yeah, stop yourself.
There is a hypothetical example that your friend once went through.
There is a property out there where some work was done in a basement,
mm-hmm.
and it required a permit because it's a rental property.
Yes,
and so the said inspectors came and they looked at the. They looked at what was being done. They said, that's okay, but hey, that's a new water heater. Who put that in? It's like, oh, shit.
You need a permit to put a new water heater?
Yes.
Oops.
For a rental property.
Oh, for a rental property.
But, I mean, even for a rental property? Are you fucking kidding me? Well, it turned out somebody who was not a master plumber, who was looking for work in this hypothetical situation, put this thing in, and code had changed. There's a 3-inch... There's a 3-inch tube that now is required. There's a 4-inch tube.
Yeah.
And so you have to actually create a little more space in the chimney.
Oh, the vent pipe.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, you know, a couple things like that. And so it became pretty apparent to the inspector that someone did this who may not have been a master plumber.
Oh, really?
He actually just did it the way it had been done previously.
Yeah.
Not realizing that code
had changed.
Changed. Yeah,
that happens all the time.
So anyway, yeah. So anyway,
get out of my trailer. I won't get out.
Which is
busted.
Which is why we require permits.
Because codes change.
This would not have. This would,
and so the city can
make
more money.
This would not have mattered one iota, from what I understand.
No.
There was no danger to the occupant of the home. It's just a change in code. Whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, usually you just do work, and then if someone comes by, you go, oh, I think the permit's supposed to be pulled. I'll have to go get it, and then you go file it really quick and pay the money and try to get away with it. I mean, that's how I've seen it done before.
But, you know, I can't say that we haven't enjoyed the property management world. It's been good. Tess is very good at it. But sometimes when you run into shit like that, you go, holy, I mean, how many which ways can they put their hand in your fucking pocket? Jesus.
But I do love it that Tess put you in this place.
That's right, it sucks.
Cocksucker.
Hey, I got a property that's going to be great for you.
But this whole place sucks.
Bring on the email. Send it to his attention, please. Tell him what a dick he is.
Well, I'm already getting those, dude.
And I am mad. This is not a bit.
No, I know you well enough.
He's a fucking dick. He's not fucking around. He's being an asshole.
A dump?
Send it to Charlie.
I'll guarantee you won't ever be a member here.
Jay's the one pressing the button.
Oh, he's passing the bill. He's passing the buck. He's throwing Jay under the bus.
Jay's pressing the button.
I'm proud of Jay's drops.
Is that so? Who made you pope in this dump, huh?
Pope in this dump.
Nice job, Jay.
I got hit once. The city sent a letter to me because the previous homeowner didn't follow up on something, and this was 3 years after I'd moved in, and they were like, you're going to be getting fined starting on this date if you don't rectify the situation. I was like, I had no idea this was a situation until now. And it was something every door that goes to the backyard had to have an alarm on it because of the pool. And I'm like, but it's a gated in backyard. Everything's gated, and it's like that's why you need the alarm.
Yeah, there's another bone of contention.
I've always been lucky with landlords. Do you like tenants that don't bother you and fix stuff and then say, hey, I'm going to take it off the rent?
Well, it's as long as it's prearranged.
Yes, I mean, as long as it's prearranged, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, we have some tenants like that.
Like, don't bother me, man. Just fix it, and that's cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
like,
that is cool. Except
I've been lucky.
Except when they fix it in ways that maybe you wouldn't have fixed it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Example?
Yeah. Well, there's a fence put up that was maybe not quite the fence
that
we
you would
chosen.
Put up. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can fix it.
Just make them remove it when they leave and make them take it with them.
Rob had
I can
to
fix it.
Rob had to do a little jerry rigging and make it right. But
so we just so it wasn't went ahead straight. And fixed the glitch.
They didn't put it in straight.
No, it was. I don't know. I didn't actually see it. I just heard about it.
Charlie, you have rental properties too?
No. I rented my whole life. So,
but I just want to say
I
this:
I would never do it.
We've had we've only had two people that had a problem with the rent. Mm-hmm. I mean, out of I don't know how many renters we've had, probably 50 or
not
55,
pay.
60. Only two people who, for whatever reason, and one guy. I told you about this guy, Charlie. He started getting shady about the fourth or fifth month. All of a sudden, he started paying in cash, always late, and like maybe after 7 or 8 days, you know, it'd be a phone call and be like, hey, I want to bring the rent. And he'd bring it, plus $75 for being late,
yep.
And it would always be cash.
Yep.
And then 1 month, things got crazy, and it got to be like the 24th and 25th, hadn't paid, every excuse in the book. Oh, my check got put in the wrong account, an account that was dead. Oh, I mean, just excuse after excuse. They were all ridiculous, and
bad excuses. Yeah.
I know. And we sit around analyzing. Is that possible? No, that's not possible.
To be put in an account that doesn't exist. It's not possible.
But he's paying.
I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
He's paying though, but you're getting the extra $75.
Yeah, until December came around, and he never paid in December, so had to take him to court. And then after going to court, he paid for December. He had 2 days to pay for January, and he didn't pay for January. And then.
Back
so
to
he
court.
Had to move out by a certain date, and they weren't out by a certain date, and so we're waiting.
Dude,
this is why
this is the nightmare, man. This,
it was,
it's
I,
hard
I
to
just
evict.
Don't want to get into landlording, man, you know?
Rookie, pay the lady.
Now you're involved in everybody's life.
Oh, yeah.
This shithead's life.
And like, some of the stories are very interesting and intriguing. Some of them are just not interesting or funny at all. But you do hear it all. But honestly, out of all the renters, only two people. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about though was that the bullshit where, and this is something that we got stung on, is how the water bill is attached to the property.
We talked about this.
Do we talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, I guess we did. But go ahead.
And I saw that in the Detroit news the other day. The couple that bought a home in Detroit for $1,200. And they had some couple thousand bucks in back taxes they had to pay, which I don't know. Is that kind of stupid that you have to pay back taxes to get a property? Isn't that kind of dumb?
No, because that's the reason they took the property. So if you want the property, pay the back tax.
Well, yeah, but they really couldn't afford all that. But, you know, they were buying a property for $1,200.
Yeah.
And then it turns out.
How much were they? Do you remember?
The back taxes, I think, were like $2,000 something. But then. They were not.
Uh-oh.
They didn't know about this until they had bought the house and moved in. A $5,000 back water bill.
Why wouldn't they?
That I don't get.
The water bill is attached to the property.
Yeah.
And whoever. And when they bought the property.
I didn't use the water.
Exactly.
It's a need.
I hate that drop. I don't know why. I want that guy hospitalized every time I hear that drop.
I just want him to get a drink.
But
water.
Yeah, he does sound thirsty.
Sounds really thirsty.
I mean, I want Ruth Williams every time. That guy should go away.
That's why he's so believable.
That's true.
Get
but
him
Ruth
some
is
milk.
Believable too.
Get him some milk.
Anyway, you know the people who previously lived there, though. I mean, the property was attached to them. They left $5,000. They were the owner. Wouldn't matter how many people they rented to, it still would have been theirs. Why is it the new owner's water bill? What happened to the old people? Are you still going after the old people, or can they just, as soon as you sell the property, you're off the hook, I guess, right?
I was just thinking.
They are.
I'm just imagining you on community access television running for the mayor of Ferndale, laying it out like this, man. Like, why in the world can I not get a porch?
Come on, you.
It's a great question. I mean,
she's my girl.
What? Somebody by the name of Monica Conyers. If you can't pay a $15 bill today, how you going to pay a $25 bill next week? It's a shame. It's an insult on our people. And she needs to go.
God, I love Ruth.
Uh-oh. He needs some milk.
Charlie, are you following the guy with the that killed two people and ate the guy's face in Florida?
Only through this show.
Better known as the
Flacca guy.
Face-eating frat boy.
Frat boy.
Did you see the news about him today?
Beyond a frat boy, isn't it?
There's some bad news today about it.
He die?
No, he's alive. He's out of the coma.
Oh, so he's under arrest?
He hasn't been able to make a statement yet. I think he's in shock as to, how'd I get here? And then they told him,
what'd I do?
Yeah. By the way, they've revealed what hat he's wearing in the surveillance video. Have you seen that?
No. What's he wearing?
He's got the hat on backwards. Make America great again.
Oh, no. Brandon, can you show Charlie the video of the guy on Flacca?
Yeah.
Crazy guy in the parking garage.
Never done that. No, you never done anything like that.
What?
Never. Never, of course not.
That's the face eating frat boy's dad.
Never done that. No, you never done anything like that.
What?
The guy who's running through this parking garage. I'm telling you, I want a fucking stopwatch on this guy. He's running like a 9,400 meter.
I know.
This guy is Olympic speed, Charlie.
It's from about a year ago.
Wait to see how fast this guy. People on Flacca are doing, they're breaking records.
They should be returning kicks in the NFL.
Absolutely.
No one's going to tackle him. I mean, this car doesn't even tackle
him.
He gets right back up.
Oh.
He breaks the back window.
Wait for it. Wait. Get up. Get up, babe. You're better than that.
You're fine. He's nude, right? You're better than that window.
Get up. Yes! Nice, and he's gone.
Oh, it's not over.
Yeah, he's not far from done.
Remember, he's nude.
Get a stopwatch on this guy, though. How fast is he running?
He's on top of the car.
And she crashes into the car.
He's naked surfing on the hood of the car. Yeah.
And then he slides about two parking spots.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
Junk down.
One, two,
and he gets up.
Three. He's up.
Wait. He hit the parking block, and he's up again. Okay, now he's realizing
I might be a little hurt, but he ain't done.
See, look how good he looks today.
Is that same guy?
No.
We're joking about that.
Because we're watching.
Look at him. That guy's running a 9,400, I'm telling you.
Wait, this is after everything I just saw. He's running.
Look how good he looks today.
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
No. These are witnesses.
Oh, why are they cutting the windows? Just keep rolling the video, man. Look at
that
dude.
The news
always messes it up.
Look how good she looks today.
Okay, do it again. Oh.
Boy.
Oh, it's through the back window.
Okay, but who's the dude? Did they ever find out who he was?
Yeah, they arrested him.
What's he doing?
All the time.
He's running for president today.
Medalist, this guy.
I want to hear about what that guy's doing. What happened?
I'll try to find him.
Flacca.
We're going to call him up.
Hell yeah.
Now, whatever he was taking, I want to try it, but I want it to be in a circular, rubber padded room. With no corners.
Well,
you got to do it on a full stomach, too.
They talk so much about the extra strength that I'm just dying to take batting practice on Flacca. I just think, just to find out, you know, could I hit a ball 500 feet on Flacca? Or that guy, how fast is that guy running? I mean, they say that the adrenaline rush is supposed to be like three times like what you can normally get released in your body.
See, don't you want to see him return a kick? Although he'd probably stop at the 20-yard line and just strip all his clothes off nude, pick the ball up again and go.
Try and drink something.
That guy was 21.
Or wouldn't it be cool if he just like let you hit him with a bat?
He probably would.
Wouldn't he bother at all.
And then he'd eat your face.
Oh, man.
That Make America Great. It's like, that's the update on the story today.
Yeah, we never got anywhere with
sorry.
The instruments.
Charlie was too busy ragging your house.
Oh, Christ.
Was that what happened?
What?
That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
I just read the story. You guys were talking about it before the show. I read the story, and all I found myself, I didn't dig very deep into it. I didn't read the comments or anything. I don't even think I finished the story, but I just thought, this is such a dumb story. I mean,
I love that story.
How hard is it to clean utensils for surgery?
So explain to people what it is you're talking about.
That DMC surgeons are complaining, and it sounds like they've been complaining for 10 years.
The Detroit Medical Center, the public hospital, for the last decade been complaining.
Repeatedly. I mean, not just like
surgeons.
Once a year. Repeatedly.
The surgeons.
Yeah. They'll start surgery and they'll go, oh, no, this we can't use this utensil for, I mean, there's no way we can use this. We've got to get something, and it'll take them an hour or something to get, and that I didn't understand either. I figured they.
Old blood's coming out of the machines?
Oh, that was so disgusting. Yeah, the tubes had
previous patient's blood,
and then they said pieces of bone too
on the instruments. Pieces of instrumentation are missing from the table.
What if somebody wasn't looking closely at that instrumentation? That's the first thing I thought of, and the second thing was when they do have utensils that are dirty or you know just not properly cleaned. I just figured, you know, you go to a drawer like your silverware drawer in your kitchen, and they would get new things and tear the paper and start over. But they made it sound like it could hold up surgery for so long that the person would be coming out of, what do you call it when you knock somebody out?
Anesthesia.
The anesthesia would wear out. And they indicated that that does happen because
it takes them so long. If I remember the article correctly, there's a 7-month-old getting open heart surgery, and they had to put a cloth over her.
Oh, right.
While they got clean instruments.
What is going on at DMC? Well, what the fuck?
Let's back up. This is 11 years ago this starts, right?
Yes.
That's when Duggan took over to turn it around. Mike Duggan, the turnaround expert.
Right, which he allegedly did turn DMC around.
Well, he didn't really turn it around. He sold it after they got fined $30 million for violating the anti-kickback statute. You can't fix it. Then this story says in 2010, Duggan took the cleansing quarters of the three different hospitals and consolidated them into one.
Is this how they explained the dirty utensils?
It was bad all this time. So he consolidates them. No extra money, no extra staff, no extra equipment. And it continues to be bad. Now he leaves, what, 4 years ago? And Conrad Mallett takes over. The judge? Yeah, the judge. You know, one of these Detroit characters. And
is Conrad Mallett, I mean, do you need experience in that industry to, I mean, just seems where the
you,
judge
man.
Would... I don't know. I'm just asking.
I would think you would want that in a major hospital chain. What's Conrad say here?
Like a doctor.
Mike Duggan's not a doctor.
So whoever spilled these emails to the news, the day after the news asked Conrad Mallett, hey, what's going on with the instruments? They hire a new company to clean the instruments.
The day after.
The day after they contact him, yes, according to this article.
Now who is the company that was cleaning the utensils? I mean, what?
It's
how
on site. It's union people and, you know.
Oh, so they hired someone from outside to do it.
Yeah, now they brought in a company.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to clean this up.
Now, here's what comment.
Does it seem that it
Conrad,
would be that hard to clean surgical utensils that you couldn't have anyone on site doing it?
Well, it says low-paid workers do a high-stakes job.
And they're,
well, that's stupid.
There apparently is a concern, too, like some instruments are harder to clean, so there's new technology.
Okay.
Get them fucking clean.
Well, yeah, the new technology costs money, and then
it
costs money.
Well, then get the fucking technology, and let's get it clean.
And it costs money to train the people to do it.
Then let's train the fucking people.
Thank you.
They were trying to save money because they're low wage.
Okay, we're trying to save money.
Wait,
spend
why
some
are they trying
money.
To save
exactly.
money on cleaning utensils? I mean, as much as these fucking people
Thank
charge,
you.
Have you ever seen a hospital bill? Have you ever seen a bill for surgery?
Yes!
They charge you for the fucking Tylenol, two Tylenols, $50.
That's right.
Now, Conrad Mallett.
Overnight stay, $2,000.
Conrad Mallett says,
your finger
quote,
up your ass, $2,000 more.
That's it?
Quote. Conrad Mallett.
What's the copay on the
and
finger
nurse
of
pounds
ass?
You off? No charge. If you're lucky.
Yeah, but
they
you
charge
got,
you for cable.
You got to wear a glove. You got to wear a glove. You got to give me a happy ending. I'll put it up my ass. And they probably got holes in them at the DMC.
No!
Right here, dude.
Yeah, bro. Conrad Mallett, quote, what we are not is uncaring. What we are not is negligent. What we are
no,
is.
No, I'm sorry. Negligent.
Is concerned. What?
Nobody cares.
I think negligent works pretty nicely there.
Now, Duggan says to the Detroit News, quote,
I don't work there anymore.
Quote, Duggan declined comment.
Because I don't work there anymore.
You know what? It's chew it up, take everything you can get out of it, make yourself rich, and move along. Everybody's fucking pissed in America. And we got a 7-month-old getting open heart surgery, and you got filthy equipment, and you never told the parents. even though the paperwork says you did tell the parents. The news contacted them like, no, we were never told.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything rotten once you just lift up the Band-Aid?
It seems like it.
This is fucked.
I mean, this story was just came out of nowhere. It's the weirdest thing, too. A hospital that can't keep its utensils clean?
Except they have been complaining about it for years.
For a decade.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell anybody.
Doctors, that is, yeah.
And this was supposed to be the public hospital that is now private. And
That's what I don't get about it. If there's been complaints for, well, like you said, a decade, how do you expect this to ever resolve? I mean, you're either going to get caught and it's going to look really bad, or you're going to have to fix it.
Or you're going to have all kinds of people with infections.
And you're going to get sued. Like, what is the end game?
Are you only looking for work in radio, dude? Because you make a lot of sense, and you could probably fucking run this hospital. But hey, I mean, everybody get in the room. Get the shit clean.
They knew about it. So what? Unless, you know what it is? Just severe lack of oversight. People not qualified to run what they're doing.
And nobody's serious about their work. You know, from it says right here, DMC managers pointing fingers at each other. Yeah. You're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired.
Serious or underqualified.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I want to know is,
they don't give a fuck.
Chintz and people. You know, the budget for Medicare and Medicaid, and that's a public hospital in a poor town. You mean, everybody should be pissed off and not making fun of, well, that's what you get with the ghetto hospital. We all paid for it, expecting children to get good health care.
Do you think it's better now than it was a decade ago, though?
I won't go. I don't know. I'm just reading it like, whoa.
This is what drives me crazy about this story. Like,
look at
the
pictures.
Look
at the pictures. Open it up.
Oh, on the inside?
Yeah, the bone fragments and the blood on it.
No, this is awful. I'm just saying, I don't know the answer. Is it in better shape today than it was 10 years ago?
Well,
15 years ago. They saved it.
Well, they didn't save it. They sold it. So, I mean,
selling it, they saved it, though.
It's off our books. That's all I can tell you. All I know is, like, people getting the sepsis and shit. Can't be better.
I started to read this low-paid workers do a high-stakes job, and then DMC managers trade blame.
Thank you.
And, you know, here's what I want. On the front page of my paper that says, dirty missing instruments plague DMC surgeries. Remember when the bomb went off at the Atlanta Olympics in 96? And what do we see? The giant picture on the front of USA Today, the mastermind, Richard Jewell, big face. Okay, it was the wrong guy. But I want the fucking picture of the guy whose fault it is. I don't care who, and I want to know, guy whose fault it is, fired!
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's Conrad Mallett, or if Conrad Mallett decides to, you know, point whoever he points a finger at, but I mean,
should be pictures of them all standing in a room pointing at each other.
There should be somebody blown out for this, right?
Yes. Yes, and more yes. And you know, it starts at the top. So you've known, sir, since you taken over 4 years ago, or whatever your term was, you've known this? And
you're
one
fine.
Day after the Detroit News asks you about it, you hire a vendor. Fuck off.
So had they never asked you about it, would they be forever dealing with these shitty instruments? It sounds like it.
Take me to Henry Ford, brother.
So who's in charge of firing Conrad Mallett? Who can achieve that? Why is he not fired? This is bullshit.
That's easy for me. You're fired.
Well, the state's opened an investigation.
What's
not
that?
Not even 24 hours later.
He's not even close to the head guy there.
What is he then?
No, what's his title?
He's an executive, but he's not the head guy there.
Huh.
It goes beyond that. It's
Well, it always is, man. It's a corporation.
Oh, Joe Mulaney?
How can this go on for 10 years?
What's Conrad's title?
I'll find out.
Thank you. It's right there.
Figurehead. Here, I'll look.
What's his salary?
Oh, I know. That's the mind-boggling thing. You find out what all
these
people.
And how many millions did Mike Duggan get when they sold it?
Yeah, he's
turn around what?
Chief Administrative Officer.
Chief Admin CAO. Come on,
you know
that's a big title.
He was president. We were kind of ragging on his...
that's a huge title.
His qualifications. He was president of another hospital for over a decade.
Conrad Mallett was?
Yeah.
Look at all the layers.
Why don't we Google that hospital?
Sinai Grace.
Oh, Sinai Grace.
President of Sinai Grace was with DMC in 99 as senior vice president. No, I don't know what he did to deserve that. I don't know what his background is, but...
You know, when I started reading this, I realized... the layers and layers of managers in these places, you know, in a hospital, sort of like government. And you know, you wonder, God, why does it cost so much to stay one night at a hospital or to three nights? You know, God, I had a really badly infected knee or something, and you know, my heart was beating fast, and they checked me in, and they ran a bunch of tests, and 3 days later I got out, and holy shit, $11,000 or something like that? You know, and I could give examples from my own life, just, you know, people who've stayed at hospitals for various reasons, and the bill at the end of the day. Well, fuck, look at all these people occupying all these management positions. I mean, do they really need all these bodies?
Well, they are running. It's not just one hospital. I mean, it is a whole system of hospitals.
No, I know, but I mean, just the layers and layers of managers,
and we can't get instruments cleaned. Something
exactly.
I think the argument could be made is maybe you need more people because nobody's getting the shit done.
Then make it so.
Why does it cost so much to stay at a hospital? Why? I mean, no one's ever explained to me, you know, all this talk about Obamacare. And by the way, my Cobra is like double what it was. And we talked about.
Well, I'm on the exchange now because I can't afford the Cobra.
It's fucking ridiculous. And yet, you know, we just went through all of this 7-8 years ago. And has anyone ever, I mean, I thought when we got into all this business of Obamacare, I thought that they would be dealing with things like why Tylenol, a couple Tylenol costs $50. Well, has anyone ever explained why that is?
That was the plan, but to get it passed, you have to make certain.
Well, yeah, insurance companies and pharmaceutical people have to be taken to task. People,
pretty mighty lobbying group to deal with.
Right,
I know. Let's break it down.
Frankly, it's amazing they got passed.
It costs so much because everybody's getting paid.
Right.
Because it's we're in an aging society. We're post-industrial. It's all services. That's a main service.
Thank you.
Everybody found the money pit. That's what's going on. But let's make it simple. Because you can do it.
Yeah, because you can charge people.
You need the doctor.
But we pay more than anyone, and we get less.
You know, medical equipment is expensive. Medicine's expensive. The education to become a doctor or nurse is expensive.
But, you know.
Yes.
I got this book.
But
waste
is, you know, it's just rampant.
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest.
They
do.
They charge you out the ass for every little thing. You know, it's like a lawyer.
Let's do it again. Yeah, they charge you out the ass for, and the instruments aren't clean.
No.
Well, that's what looks so bad about it. It is the simplest of things.
Staff.
You know, why don't I just go to the guy in the white van in the alley then to get, you know.
Yes.
How can you fail something so absolutely basic? I mean,
well, that's my point. Yeah,
nobody can understand.
And let's
something
break it down to like culpability here, right? Why are we parading people around as turnaround experts when this shit's been covered up for a decade?
Yeah,
a decade.
Did you say they're private now or public now?
They're private.
They're private now. Okay.
I'd like to know what else is going on at this hospital. If they can't clean the instruments, what else is going on?
Well, now another issue I would assume is, you know, it is medical, so it is kind of hard to find out. The privacy laws are pretty tough with anything involving any kind of medicine and complaints.
Sure.
I don't know why those would be so protected.
But if you can be so negligent.
Emails between doctors and executive staffs are protected? That makes no sense.
If you can be so negligent as to not clean your surgical tools, what else are you being negligent about? Because what...
Yeah.
What is more basic and more important than cleaning surgical tools, for fuck's sake? I mean, it just makes me wonder what else is going on over there. What else do they not want us to know? And I'm sure it's plenty.
Okay, so here's Conrad Mallett's bio.
His bio should just be, ooh.
I'm trying to make sure these are correct. It's like pre-DMC. This pre-DMC?
Well, his bio is on DMC if you want to hear that.
Yeah, this is the Lear Corp. We don't care about that. I want to know what he's making over here.
Oh, what he's making?
He's a wealthy man.
If it's private, though, you're not going to know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's a very wealthy man.
Yeah, he's very wealthy.
It's interesting, too, that he's in this you know, in this private, you know, being in a private hospital like that, you know, to dig into what is going on there is an all-day job.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing, though, with a judge. Look at what judges, you know, it's such an esteemed position, and yet thanks to the work that you guys do at Fox 2, and, you know, ML did that story on the
Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah. And in the end, everybody's like, oh, he's not doing anything wrong. And, you know, I've seen those stories where Walchek or Scott Lewis back in the day would follow these guys around all day. And, oh, he's meeting this girl every day at 10 o'clock, and he goes shopping, and he likes to go to the gun store. And, you know, he's got this giant docket, and in the end, nothing's ever done to these guys.
Yeah, and let me give Elric a lot of love on that story, because that one, I don't know if it resonated like it should, but...
He told me he took a lot of shit for it, which I couldn't believe.
I don't think he should, because...
No!
He touched something so raw. I've never seen this in television or in journalism, to be honest, that the head justice and two other Supreme Court justices met with him to explain their work ethic. Like, he completely put the Supreme Court on fucking notice.
Yeah.
That was amazing to me. I'm watching that like, wow, they're very sensitive about this.
Oh, and they didn't mind the fact that the guy only went to work a couple times a week?
Yeah, well, you can do that.
You can do all your work at home, and look, he's taking care of his father, and it's like...
Look, he's doing his yard work.
But you know, we'd all love to do that. We'd all love to not go to work and take care of our kids.
I'm not buying it. Are you?
No, I'm not buying it at all. I didn't buy it at all.
I know that's a heavyweight job. I need you to be where the public can find you.
Either way, it looks...
Not at home with your daddy.
Either way, it looks fucking lazy.
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought it was complete bullshit. It was basically that he has the freedom to not be held to any kind of standard whatsoever, and he takes advantage of it.
Well,
he taught classes during the day, which was highly irregular. Those guys teach at night.
And didn't show up for that because he had his clerks teaching the class.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He wasn't even doing that.
No, he wasn't doing that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong, but Conrad Mallett, isn't he a former Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, interesting.
but
you
of course,
go right now, Elric.
Of course, those guys are going to cover for him. They do the same job. And then what's the head justice, the grand poobah,
chief
whatever.
Justice,
chief, yeah,
the grand poobah.
The grand poobah.
I mean, he even went to bat for the guy. It's like,
yeah, he's sitting there like just playing to Elric. It's,
I know.
I thought it was hilarious.
But shouldn't he?
Who fucks with the Supreme Court? You know, ML Elric does. That's
and thank God he does. But I just couldn't believe the support this guy got.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even
he's
if you want to
sing all of you,
say you want to buy every excuse they throw out there, it just looks really bad. You know, perception matters in jobs like that.
Yeah, you know, the perception is it's unacceptable. Yeah, no, go to work.
But they all said it that, oh no, this is great, and you know, look at what a great father he is, and he takes care of his parents, and isn't this wonderful?
Me too.
We all want to do that.
You do that?
I do that.
He's our employee.
But, you know, I do it. I don't do it on my work time. I can't go out to Fox Run at, you know, when I was working at
during the 105.1
or during the podcast.
Well, you could.
I could. No, I mean, I can't. And I remember telling them, too, it's like, look, between 3 and 7, I can't, you know, that's when you're going to have to wait for me. I just can't be bothered unless it's an absolute emergency. And they understood that.
Yes.
But this guy, you know, hey, mom and dad come first. Job comes third. You know, kids come first. Mom and dad come second. Job comes third, obviously, in his world, even his teaching job.
But this kind of journalism is beautiful, and I'm sad to see it disappearing. Elric holding the third estate, right, to order.
Yes.
Nobody does that. The Detroit News peeling back the layers on the hospital and all these leaders of ours that we hold up and what you were really doing. What's really going on? Start putting it together, connecting the dots. We're being failed. We're being failed. Something as simple as a clean instrument.
Mm-hmm.
A great piece of journalism. A great piece of work.
When you say we're being failed, you mean there aren't enough people doing this kind of work? Is that what you meant?
Or being failed by our leaders. By our leaders.
Yeah.
You know, and
no, I know you've
bullshit one after another after another.
Charlie is, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but you've told me you wish there were more people doing their homework in terms of investigative reporting. You wish there were more people.
More
really
reporters, less time. Commentators.
Thank you.
You know, with the social media and everything, like, you got to be noticed. So it's all talking.
Everyone's
heads.
A comment. Well, who wants to be a reporter? You'd rather be a columnist. Like, for the old newspaper days, you'd rather be a columnist than a reporter.
But the columnist was always set up. By what the reporter did.
Of course.
Right?
There's nothing to comment on if there's no story.
Right on, man. And, like, you know, so the new era now has to be that the columnists have got to do some work.
I say the most admirable jobs besides police and fire and, you know, like first responders, that kind of thing, are, Charlie might get rock off of this, but journalists. They didn't get paid shit in the beginning.
Doing. Thanks, man.
It's important work, especially at the city level. At the smaller municipality level.
Oh, if there weren't, you know, think about.
But it doesn't pay shit.
If you think about just some of the good work that's been done around here over the last 20 years, Kwame Kilpatrick could still be mayor very easily. Mm-hmm. If there was just a complete pile of lazy-ass investigative reporters. And it wasn't just ML. ML and Schaefer did amazing work. But there were a lot of other guys busting that story, too. Yeah, oh, Steve Wilson.
For sure. Oh, no, there's like Rob Snell. Lots of guys.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, Detroit.
Christine McDonald.
You
don't
set me up for
Paul,
a comeback.
Paul Egan, I want to say his name. That guy's a killer. He's awesome.
They were all working the same story.
Yeah,
and
really.
Eventually,
hard.
It all came together, and you know, look what happened.
That quit buying prostitutes. You quit buying prostitutes.
28 years.
Chastity Pratt is the only person really covering education deep down. You know, I talked to her the other day. She's kind of down and low, and like, think of how do you make money? How do you sell a book? And I said, I don't know, baby, but people love you and respect you, and you're doing God's work. You got to do.
She covers the public schools.
Yeah, she's the expert.
She could easily write a book that would sell nationwide with how fucked up.
I was talking to her
I was like,
you just got to globalize it a little bit and then get specific.
Did she do the truancy story on Detroit?
I probably remember the one about the kid walking by the blight and all that. Remember that big
one? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she did that. She's a gorgeous person.
What's the reason for your truancy?
The truancy story, you know, to find out that many kids are missing over 3 weeks a year. And it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't kids missing 16, 17 days. It was really more like 40 or 50 days that kids were missing. And the percentages were like, are you kidding me?
And you give them an iPod to show up on count day.
I know. And a backpack full of supplies. And you can win a bicycle.
On count day.
People win bicycles. I know.
We only want you here for count day.
Is that the first day of school, count day?
No, count day is supposed to... They're not supposed to let you know when it is, but they let you know when it is. That's when they go in and do a census. How many kids attend school? For each kid that we count here today, that's the funding you'll get.
How fucked up is that? That you
really
have to give prizes.
Up.
I mean, that's
well, the fact
that's unconscionable. Going to class was just the bare minimum. I mean, that was what you just had to do to get by.
Not get your ass whooped by your dad.
Exactly.
Or your mama.
And you probably get a C minus or a D at least for showing up.
Why is
everyone showed up? You could not be absent for 40 days or 50 days.
There was even a spot they'd let you smoke the weed for the burnouts. You know, there was.
We had a smoking area at my high school.
Yeah, just be here.
What is this fascination with truancy?
Why is count day one day? Why wouldn't they average out a few days?
See,
that makes no sense.
I always stop it.
What's wrong with averages?
Because I'm not really a radio guy just yet because I've got a reporter job. So I don't know if that's the case.
Oh, okay. So maybe it is average?
It could be, man.
Count day's the biggest. They want to ruin the curve with count
day. I don't think it is, but don't trust me as the expert.
Okay. Wouldn't you think it would be considered wrong to essentially game the system by giving shit away on count day? You
know, Why don't they count how many iPads they gave out and then subtract those people from count day?
Now, dig this. Remember The Wire, the show The Wire from Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
Great show. And it was count day and they gave them stuff? I'm like, oh, what a great TV show. And I get to Detroit, like, it's fucking real.
Yeah.
It's very real.
So it's not, you know, and that guy that wrote that series was a reporter.
David Simon.
David Simon.
Mm-hmm.
So
A Year on the Killing Streets.
Yeah, and Homicide.
The best books
ever. The Coroner, he did all that.
Yes.
So it was going on when he was a reporter. It's been going on forever, and we don't know it. DMC and the nasty needles and scalpels. Been going on forever.
All right, we're going to wrap up part one. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back for part two with Charlie Leduff from Fox 2.
Fox TV.
Fox TV.
God, Plus two. I
Megs.
Love, no.
Did you hear that fart?
It was Megs. Get out of here, doggy.
I thought it was the rickety railing outside.
You're such a dick. I have to go out there and check the railing.
We're going to do that.
See, I know it's not rickety. The old one was extremely rickety. That's why I came down.
I know it is because it's laying
it's
in the driveway.
Not rickety. We'll be back from the porchless house in the newly finished basement with the shovel in front and the rickety railing and the freshly painted stairwell, by the way, too. Did you notice that, Mark?
Yeah, the house is clean. Yeah, I saw Rob painting it the other day.
Don't forget the dog shit.
That you stepped in. It wasn't his dog.
There is some dogs. There's dogs that live here, okay? Love dog shit will be picked up.
Welcome back.
You'll find something else, Drew.
We're back after this.
I'm going to go look at
part two.
Oh, wait, one more. What's the deal with the big tin full of, like, chicken bones in the fridge?
What? Oh, Mags's chicken bones?
Then that for Mags?
Yes.
Because I was going to eat some of it.
And then go take a dump in the
backyard. Why is he in the refrigerator? He's not allowed unescorted anywhere in this house.
I was looking for the beer.
He is not to go in the refrigerator. Or anywhere besides the basement unescorted.
You're letting an investigative reporter loose in your house.
Crazy. Part two is coming up.
Yeah,